In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yes, a Bible teaching ministry. A Bible teaching ministry. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm looking at Mark 4, verse 26. And Jesus said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." I'm telling you, there is a harvest that has come, and we do not know how to pick the harvest, the people proclaiming Jesus. I tell you that the Muslims are taking our people now. Oh yes, Muslims are taking our people, and they do not even worship the same God that we worship, because we don't come on very strong and convinced of our message of Jesus Christ. I tell you, in 20 years, the city of Rome will be a Muslim city, if not 20 years, 30 years. Why? Because the people that are Muslim are having children, and also they go out evangelizing the bad news of Mohammed. I tell you, it is time for us to know that the harvest is ready. We just need harvesters. And that's the way it is. And it will always be harvesting the broken. The broken, you know. People don't want to be with the broken. But the people that don't want to be with the broken are broken themselves. Okay, I'm continuing about the mustard seed. And Jesus said, "What shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it to? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds on the earth." It's so tiny. Oh yes, it's so tiny. "But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Do you have the faith of a mustard seed? That is the issue. I am not talking about the faith of a watermelon seed. I am talking about the faith of a mustard seed. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this cancer, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." On Saturday, we watched people who came with canes and walking fast. We watched a young man, Grant, who had a pain in his hip, and one simple prayer loosed the hip, and he was able to run around the church. The faith of a mustard seed can do a lot of things if you have the faith of a mustard seed. And I'm telling you, my friends, that is not very much. I remember many years ago, I was downtrodden, and I walked into the Holy Redeemer Church, to the little chapel, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, give me the faith of a mustard seed. I will never, ever ask for it again. Just plant it in my heart and let it grow." I'm telling you, you don't have to have much faith, just the faith of a mustard seed. "And with many such parables, Jesus spoke by word unto them as they were able to hear it." As they were able to hear it, yes. He doesn't talk about his death to them because they're not able to hear it at this point. "But without a parable, Jesus did not speak unto them. When they were alone, Jesus explained all things to his disciples." Yes, when they were alone. Jesus explained all things to his disciples. Yesterday, I had a visit from two Franciscans. I was watching television when they came, and the first thing I asked them when I went downstairs, "Are you hungry?" And they were starved. They hadn't eaten. And I fed them. And Paula said, "I want you to prophesy over me today." And I prophesied over Paulus, and I prophesied over his friend. It's very interesting. What I saw with Paulus was a little child with little toys. And I said to the Lord said to me, "This is the beginning. He's at the beginning of his ministry doing this, but it will grow. But it's the don't throw down little starts. Little starts are good. Beginnings are good." And the other one, I said to him, "Oh, God says you don't be prideful." But what I'm talking about pride, I'm saying if God calls you to do something big, you do it. Because if you don't do it, that's pride. I don't want to do it because I risk my pride. No, if God calls you to do something, you do it. Don't plug into pride. You see, pride is also the other way. You know, who am I that I should declare healing? I'm a sinner. That's pride. Jesus has given us the grace to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim the miracles of the Lord. And even though I might not be the best vessel in the whole world, I have the ability to do things. And if I say, "Oh, I'm not going to do that because I might get prideful," that is pride. If Jesus called you to do something, you just do it. And that same day, when the evening had come, Jesus said unto them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was. I love that scripture. They took Jesus into the boat as he was. They accepted him as he was in the boat. And there were also with Jesus other little boats. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves beating into the ship so that it was now becoming filled with water. I'm telling you, that ship is the church, and it's becoming filled with water. And we need Jesus to calm down things and to send people, for the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Oh, we need people to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus our Lord has died for us, that he was buried and rose from the dead. We need people to welcome Jesus and to give him complete authority in their lives. A great storm of wind and waves beat into the boat so that it was now full. It was going under because of the water in the boat. I tell you, it's like the church today. The church in the Northeast needs the power of God. We need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We need that God would do something that only God could do. And if he does it, will we accept it? You see, I this is what bothers me. What bothers me is that God works in hokey ways. What do I mean by that? He doesn't appeal to people's intellectual thoughts. Like I just say, what about the beautiful icon that is pouring out oil? Well, people say, you know, that's not the way God works. But you know what? An icon that's pouring out oil, if you preach the gospel, you can save a lot of people. We're saying, oh, we don't want those things to happen. Why don't we want those things to happen? If God does them, I welcome them. God's not doing that right now, but I'm just saying I welcome what God is doing, because that's what the harvest is great, and that's where I preach the gospel. You see, the icon that's oozing oil is just what's the word? It's the thing that draws people. They come to see the icon. They come to touch the oil. But that's not where you want to leave them. You want to proclaim Jesus Christ to them. You want to proclaim his death and resurrection. You want to proclaim a relationship with Jesus. You don't stop with the icon. The icon draws the people because they want to see the miraculous. And that's real. That's real. But you see, that's too hokey for the church. We are looking for big things. I'm telling you, when God does something little, it is big, because only God can do what God can do. And we need to see the action of God in our lives. So they were having a storm, and it's very interesting. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Imagine, the boat is filling up with water, and Jesus is sleeping on a pillow. The pillow must have been all wet. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Master Jesus, do you care that we are perishing?" Jesus has sleep in his eyes, opens his eyes. He arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, shalom, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" In other words, you could have done this yourself. You didn't have to wake me up. You have the faith of a mustard seed. You could have commanded the waters to be still. You could have said, "Shalom, waters." Rather, you looked at the storm and you didn't look at the goal, who is Jesus himself. You didn't need me to wake up. I'm telling you, you have little faith. You could have done this yourself. "How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Just this, what happened on Saturday, it's not this great miracle. But, it's, you know, I want to share it with you. We have a key that opens up a little door where the sacred vessels are. And the altar servers were having a very difficult time opening up the little door with the key. So I said, "Let me try." Oh, and I was having even a harder time. The key wouldn't go into the complete opening of the keyhole until finally I said, "Jesus, would you help me?" It wasn't 10 seconds later that the door opened. I said, you know, I should have said, "Jesus, will you help me?" at the beginning, rather than try to force my own power to open this door. You might say, that doesn't sound very much like a miracle. Well, if we couldn't get the vessels, we wouldn't be able to celebrate Mass. And the only thing I had to say was, "Jesus, could you just help me?" That's all I needed to say. "Would you just help me?" Little things. The children saw it. You know, I didn't say, "You see what Jesus did?" No, they're able to witness these things, that Jesus opened that little door for us. You say, "Well, that's not very big." Well, if it happened to you, it would be big. We're into the fifth chapter of St. Mark. This is the demoniac at the Gadarenes. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes." This is not the Jewish place. This is the Gentile place. "And when he was come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." He was demon-possessed. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." In other words, they couldn't even hold this man. He would break the chains. It was so severe that the demons would break the chains. I'm going to tell you, when you're dealing with the demonic, the person has a tremendous amount of power. I'm not talking about power in the spirit, but power to move things, and power to pick up things, and power to not be lifted up. Their tremendous weight is on them, and it's not the weight of glory, it's the weight of hell. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This is a demonic man. I'm going to tell you, I get calls almost every week talking about I need to be delivered of demons. And I say, how do you know they're demons? Are you taking medicine? The medicine didn't work. I can't do it. I tell them I'm not strong enough, but I send them to somebody else. I don't know what happens when I send them to somebody else, but I'm telling you, the demons are real in people. One poor lady said to me, I asked her, was she ritually abused? She said, I was when I was 4 years old. She remembered. That's where the enemy entered in. We need people that are going to not only bring people to Jesus, but to break the power of the enemy, to break the power of the Satan. We need people. They call them exorcists. But, you know, some exorcists wouldn't know a demon from a rabbit. You know what I'm saying? We need people that know the fight of spirituality, that there is a fight between heaven and hell, and that fight is going on in your head today. That fight is going on. Surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. And all night and all day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. You see, the devils know Jesus. I tell you, they know Jesus more than the Christians, more than the priests, more than the bishops, more than anyone. The devils know Jesus. And he cried aloud and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus? You are the Son of the Most High God. I adjure you by God. I adjure you by God that you torment me not. For he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are so many. But you see, it's going to be no problem for Jesus. He's going to get these demons out of this man. He's going to make sure that this man is whole and in his right mind. You know, some people just don't believe in demons. I tell you, play with the occult and you open up your mind and your heart to demons. I won't even open up a fortune cookie in a restaurant. You say, well, that's foolish. It's only small. I don't care how small it is. I'm not into fortune cookies. I'm into the scriptures, and I'm into what God wants. I don't care what the fortune cookie says. I'll eat the cookie, but I won't read what's in it. I just rip it up. You say, though, that's going a little too far. Well, maybe for you it's too far. I know people that have been playing with the occult, and that the demons take possession, and they don't want to come out. It's not like Jesus. Jesus sought the man and said, come out of him. What's your name? My name is Legion. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. You see, this is not the Jewish section. This is the Gentile section, because Jews have nothing to do with swine, with pigs. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place and the sea, and they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. They you know why they fled? They had their own demons. They're afraid of Jesus. And in the country. And they went out to see what it was and what was done. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil. The guy came to him and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Yep. They were afraid because they saw that this man was completely out of his mind, that he had strength to break chains, that he had strength to do things that that the normal people couldn't do. And they that saw it told how it befell to him and how he was possessed with the enemy and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray Jesus, pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, would you get out of here, Jesus? We're happy with our own demons. We're afraid. We saw you do this to the men. I wonder what you're going to do to us. So, Jesus, would you please leave this place? Rather than say, wow, we welcome you, Jesus. Come and clean us all out. Come and make us all new. Come and give us your presence. No, they decided to get Jesus out of this area. And when he was come out of the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go with Jesus. But Jesus suffered him not, and said unto him, go home and tell your friends all the things that the Lord hath done for thee, or that God hath done for thee, and hath compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis, a Gentile area, how many things Jesus had done for him. And all the people marveled. I tell you, God wants to do mighty things in people's ministries, but we need to give him permission. We don't give him permission, nothing happens. I was telling the story the other day of with Dan Rehill and Margaret. We were on our way to visit something in Poland. And I said to the Lord, I give you permission to do what you want to do today. Well, we drove out, and guess what? The car broke down. And what happened? We had to get a truck to carry the car, and it carried the car to a garage. I'll never forget it. And Danny was very upset that I gave God permission. He said, you did this. I said, I didn't do it at all. But anyway, I went into the church that day. There was a church across the street from the garage. And there were lots of people. They were praying Vespers. I said to them, when was the last time you had Mass? They said, we don't have Mass anymore. The pastor is sick. So I said, I'll do Mass for you. God sent me here to do Mass for you because he loves you. Not because of me. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with being a priest. And God loves you. I'll never forget the organist who had a mental disease and said, imagine, God sent a priest because he loved me. I think it was the first time that he ever heard in himself that he was loved by the Lord. Oh, yes, we celebrated Mass, and then we went to see the pastor, and we prayed with the pastor, and my Lord, it all worked out. We got home very late, but we got home. The garage fixed the car by making a part himself. I wanted to give the man in the garage extra money. He only wanted money for what he did, and we left. But you see, the action of God was there. The action of God was there. We celebrated Mass. The people were happy. We celebrated Mass. The pastor was happy. We prayed with the pastor that he would start caring for his people. You know, he had not shaved. He had not washed. But, you know, we did our job. We did what we needed to do. That was not on our agenda. That was not something that we thought was going to happen. No, it wasn't. But God brought it to be, and we just stepped into it. You know, we could have said, you know, I'm not going over to that church. I'm just going to sit and wait for the man to fix the car. But I said, you know what? There's a church there. The Blessed Sacrament's there. I'm going to go into the church, and I'm going to wait in the church. And all the things happened. God knows how to do things. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, proclaiming the word of God. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you got one of our letters, please mail a donation so that we can pay for May's bills. I'm also announcing between the 20th and the 26th, the School of the Holy Spirit, which will take place at the Holy Rosary Church. If you're interested, you call 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. And ask for Leslie. Leslie will help you. Again, the School of the Holy Spirit between July 20th and July 26th. You're welcome to come. If you can't come the whole time, you can come for a couple of days between July 20th and July 26th. I got something today from another state, and they said, we're coming with our girlfriends, and they're all girls, and we're going to come only for a couple of days. I said, we'll call Leslie at 617-846-1210. And she'll tell you about the School of the Holy Spirit. Maria Vadia will be there, and I will be there, and Michelle will be there. And, oh, we're going to have beautiful music. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. And may he give you peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.